Hey, Katie.
I want to say, I think that I disconnect. Just wait for me. I'll be back.
Nothing like always having technical problems on the day that we're recording.
I know. I got a text from Gil, and he's like, by the way, Wi-Fi is going to be down from like this time to this time. And I'm working too. So I hotspotted my phone to like log into work. But it just like, it's there's always an issue with the hotspot, but I am connected. So I think I should be okay. Anywho, we're here today. Okay, switch up. If you guys were expecting me, Nate's going to be next week because somebody didn't look at the schedule.
Normally, I'm so good at checking that schedule because you have it pinned. I always refer back to it when I'm looking at like what to read next. It's like, okay, no, you need to make sure. I was utterly convinced that we were ending the month with me. I'm laughing because like I'm gonna piss a lot of people off next week.
Oh, I loved it. So that'll be exciting to talk about then.
Yeah, no, but I think we're gonna have very different opinions on this book.
Yeah, because I did finish it like a good girl. And I liked it better than Bride. Like a lot better than Bride, actually. And I know everybody loves Bride, and like Bride to me like falls kind of towards the end of Allie's, which we'll obviously get into this next week, but I think I'm just not a Omegaverse fan. I think that's mostly it for me.
Could be.
More solid opinions to come next week. I had a feeling that you weren't reading it.
I'm gonna be in the minority with what I have 3.5 hours left. Okay. It will be done by Thursday, Friday, the latest. I sort of have a really good feel of like, it's boring as fuck.
Okay. I enjoyed it.
That.
Yeah.
What is happening? Nothing. But we'll talk more about that next week.
Anywho, so we are going to we're going to spill the tea on everything that we've been reading recently. And like a little role reversal here, guys, because I have really not been reading a lot. I don't want to call it a slump. I've just been like the first weekend I was traveling. Then I had like all day events on the 11th and 12th. Then last weekend, this past weekend, I had the stomach bug. So I have just been very busy and I don't get a lot of reading done during the week with like work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to like focus on work and going to the gym and like cleaning and focusing on like, you know, myself, I guess a little bit, and not like rushing home from work to read.
Yeah.
So I haven't been reading too much. I have two books that I can discuss, and I am in the middle of Wild Reverence by, oh my God.
Blank.
No, like Divine Rivals, that author, Rebecca Ross.
Thank you. I was like, I know it's like Becca or something.
Yeah, no. Okay. Sorry. So I'm halfway through that and I'm really enjoying it, but I'm reading it very slowly. So anyway, we can get started. We can jump in. I'm going to let Katie go first because she's got a lot more than I got. So you can like do a book or two. I'll go. You'll go. We'll switch off. We'll do the
thing. I'm going to go in reverse order. I don't have a full review yet, but I am so very close. I'm 75% into this book. As you all know, I have been traveling down more of a thriller, light, cozy horror, if you will. I am reading We Are All Guilty Here by, I'm thinking her name is Karin. It's K-A-R-I-N. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Water. This book came out in August. This is fantastic. And I really like how it's set up. There is a child abduction that occurs in the beginning part. You get like maybe 30% in. And that kind of, I'm going to use quotations here, wraps up, if you will. And the female main character of the story is one of the police officers. She comes from like a long line of people that have lived in this town. So they're known as like the Cliftons. Literally like founding people of the town. They kind of run the show. The author does a really great explanation of like building like who these people are, what they bring to the town money-wise. Think small towns, South Georgia type area, but like Southwest-ish Georgia. It's very interesting. And then the middle component is the the man that was accused and tried and convicted of all of these different felonies, if you will, and put in prison was released because a rape kit from someone else's case was never tested, finally tested. So like, how do you prove that the man who raped this one girl 150 miles away also committed these murders?
Right.
So now we're at that point. Then there's like a whole other component of like, all these hidden secrets are coming to light. They're looking into two different cases because another kidnapping and abduction happened to another kid after he got out. It is like the coolest progression of a story. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because it also has family issues and different dynamics. It has mom to son, mom to best friend.
Okay.
Something happens tragically within her, like her world with her parents. Like it's just, it feels so movie-like as if it's real world, like it's happening to you or like your neighbor or someone really close okay. to you. It is so good. I'm dying to figure out who the actual killer is. So I highly recommend, if I did not say the name, We Are All Guilty Here. It's a really good thriller. It's rated like 4.3 on Goodreads.
It sounds intriguing. Like it honestly does sound really good.
It really is so. At first, like, you know when like you're reading a book and you're like, I'm 30 to 35% into the book and this is wrapping up. Like what's the next part of this?
Yeah.
And the synopsis really kind of like hones in on everyone in town is not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, where's that? Like I'm a little confused here. I'm like, oh. Part two. Like it jumps ahead 12 years. Like it's really, really interesting.
Okay.
I really recommend, and I'm eyeball reading it and I'm enjoying it. I can't remember if it's a KU book or not. You want to go next? I feel like I spoke a lot.
I mean, if you want to take a break, take a sip of water, I can talk. Sure, but I mean, you're going to have to go hard at the end then.
Okay. You know what? Let me do one more. So Scarlett Sinclair is the author. Of whatever, the person.
Touch of Darkness.
Darkness. I liked book one of that series. I did not like book two.
I think that you and I read something of hers. I want to look it up. I'm going to look it up on my phone.
Something else.
Right? And I feel like we did like it.
Right. Yeah. King of Battle and Blood. And we liked that.
We did like that. And then I think that there was another book in that series and I didn't read it. Queen of Myth and something.
Queen of the Monsters. I actually think you bought that for me. It's sitting on my shelf upstairs.
Wow.
So she wrote another book called Terror at the Gates. It's book one. I think it's a duology. Blood of the Lilith series.
Okay.
I did this on audio. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Utopian?
Dystopian?
Not dystopian. Real world magic, but like it's not. It's like where we are, but like not exactly as it is here.
Oh, it's so kind of, like my God.
Materialism, something, but there's another word for it.
No, there is.
I have no brain power.
Same.
I'm looking at the synopsis.
It's basically how it's like set in like, not like our world, but like a modern world with magic.
Yeah, it's modern world with magic.
But it's called something and it's going to drive me crazy because like we've talked about this. It's almost like Crescent City, how it's like modern, and it's almost like the Book of Azrael, how it's like set in like a modern world. Yeah. What's that called?
I don't know.
Guys, are you screaming at us right now? Oh my God.
These dumb idiots.
What's like a, it's like called like urban fantasy.
Urban fantasy. Thank you. It's definitely, I guess maybe has like a hint of fantasy to it because it's not.
Because there's magic.
There's magic and it's not like the world as we know it, but it's very, it feels like magical realism. It feels like a place that you and I are living in. It's just different. And our female main character is pretty much estranged from her parents. You find out why. That is a component of the story that I think I will not, divulge on the call. But she uses like her magic to steal for a living. She attracts attention with people that she's not supposed to. There's a really fun, it's like we shouldn't have a love interest, but we are. There's a little bit of an age gap between the two. There is like a murder that occurs and she's trying to help figure out what's going on. And she's this female main character, which I do like about, what I like about this character versus like the Touch of Darkness series is like, she's very just, I'm going to jump in head first, like get out of my way. I'm figuring out the answer. I don't care what happens to me. Who I damage in the process. She does care about others around her. Like, mm-hmm. She's cautious in that nature. But when she needs to get to the bottom of something, she's going to go all out. She's going to figure it out. So people keep dying who touch this magical blade that she somehow comes into possession with. Her okay. and somebody else who's the love interest can touch this and they do not die. But since now she's like other people are touching it and dying, she's kind of like losing business, if you will. So then she goes to this guy named, I think it's Zahariv, for a job. Like they're really not supposed to mingle. Like they're kind of like conflicting families. Think mafia, if you will.
Okay.
He gives her a job anyway, but then like before she can even start working to make money, this murder of somebody happens and then all hell breaks loose. It was such a fun listen. I really liked the ending also. I'm really curious to see where this goes. It didn't like blow my socks off, if you will, but it was entertaining when I was in it.
Right. Sometimes you just like need like a fun book. Like not everything has to be.
No, it doesn't need to be. And people are like, there's so many people raving about this. I think it's just like a good, fun, fast paced read.
Yeah.
The cover is quite beautiful also. I'm not going to lie.
It is. I've seen the cover. It's like really, really pretty. Yeah. Because that's how I know what the book is, because I've seen the cover like all over the place.
Yes. That's really pretty. All right. I'll
I'm going to start with an arc. So I'm going to give, I guess, like kind of like an overview. But I read And Now Back to You by B.K. Borison, which is the second book in the Heartstring series. So the first one is obviously First Time Caller, which is one of my top books of the year. I do this like a lot where I read an arc and then I'm like, okay, this doesn't come out for 6 months. So I actually did read First Time Caller last August. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. But I'm like, it doesn't come out till next year, so I can't put it on my 2024 best books list. And then I reread it when it came out.
Yeah.
So it is firmly on the 2025 best books list. Anyway, And Now Back to You follows Jackson, who is you meet Jackson and Delilah both in First Time Caller. So Jackson is basically, he works at the radio station with Aiden. They're basically best friends. And then Delilah works at the TV station across the street. And Delilah is also a meteorologist, but she's kind of put on these like puff piece stories. So she's her and Jackson like run into each other in the parking lot. There's a shared parking lot, and like every time she's a klutz, and every time she sees him, like something goes awry, and everyone like thinks that Jackson hates her, but he's just like so frazzled by her. And he's always like, I don't hate her, but like he's like, oh, whatever. Something that you don't know about Jackson from the first book is that he actually has two younger sisters that he like adopted, essentially, like took over from his mother, who's kind of like this kind of a deadbeat, I guess you could say. You do meet her in the book and like kind of get more of that backstory. But he is very like, due to his like upbringing and then taking on his sisters and like being a guardian to them, he's very like regimented. So like Delilah being so scattered and like kind of all over the place, like really throws him for a loop. Mm-hmm. But basically like the radio station and the news station, they kind of like team up and they're like, okay, we're going to use our meteorologist on the radio and her on the TV. And there's like this huge storm that's coming into the area. So they basically like send them out as this like duo and they're going to report on TV together and on the radio together. It's like this like whole thing. To help bring like more viewership, like in whatever. And Jackson and Delilah are very cute. Like I really liked them and I liked the relationship and the romance. I thought that was all great. I just thought the plot like didn't make sense. Like there's this huge storm coming in and they're sent to the mountains to like track the storm. And then they do like three, like they're barely like doing the news.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, I thought that there would be more. It's very forced proximity, and there's a one bed trope, and I'm like, okay, but like, where is the plot?
Yeah, like give me more.
Yeah, like so I just felt like the
like plot, have them like, pulling out, following, like I'm thinking like Twister, right, where they're following the storm, if you will.
Yeah, no, like they like go up into the mountains, and they like, and then they, I mean, again, I get it, because like. I don't know. I just feel like, and they were like, oh my, this is going to be this like record breaking storm. And like, yes, that happens.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it like does like it. There's like, there's no repercussion. I was just like, okay. So like this crazy, so a big snowstorm happened. And like you went to the mountains and you did like three news reports on it. Like they're making it seem like a big deal. And then like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
So that part I was like, eh. So I took some points off for that. But everything else I really liked. Like, I just think that BK Borison like just does a really good job of just like creating like cute, lovable couples. Like, I don't love every single book in her previous series. The Lovelight Farm series. I forget like what it's actually called. I liked like half of them, and some of them I was just like, eh, mediocre. Some of them I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So this one was really cute. The next book, just based on like the little glimpse you get of these two characters, I'm not gonna like say who I think the next book's about, but it's like very obvious when you read it. The tension, you can it's gonna be so good.
I'm excited.
It's gonna be like enemies to lovers with tension. Like, once you read this, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about.
Okay. I mean, I'm excited regardless for book two, but I get your point. Like, it sounds like this could have been a really, really fun plot if there was a bit more to it. It just kind of lacked a little bit.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know. I just feel like they were like, oh, like, while we're here, like, we can have some fun. But then what happens when we get back? I'm like, they were acting like they don't literally work right across the street from each other. And I was just like, okay, guys, like,
let it go.
Like the stakes, yeah. Like the stakes aren't
the country here.
Yeah, like I'm like the stakes aren't like that high. Like basically, I feel like so Delilah, her thing is that she wants to do the news, and she like keeps getting put on these puff pieces because like her boss hates her, and he's trying to like push her out a little bit. And I was like, there is turmoil there, and like that is a big plot point. I feel like that should have been more of the plot point, like not, oh, are we going to be together or not?
I'm with you. Like,
you know,
the focus should have shifted a bit more.
Yeah. Cause like not every romance do they have to have like this, like come to Jesus moment at the end. I feel like there can be other plots going on that like, yes, hey, we are together and we're a couple and now we have to face this thing together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just feel like the plot like was like a little rough at times, but everything else was super cute.
Well, that's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Adds to list. All right, so I'm not gonna lie, I've been like, I have the last two I'm saving for are gonna be top reads of mine for the year, but I'm gonna talk about, okay, so a lot of these academia and dark academia books do have a lot of fantasy components to it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to go start another dark academia book, but I'm not in the mood for fantasy right now. Like, I just want very realistic readings, if you will. So, if you are like me and still want like an academia-heavy book,
mm-hmm.
Nightshade by Autumn Woods. Well, heck, this was freaking fantastic. And speaking to plots, this is going to be a duet. So, our female main character, Ophelia. The reason why I can remember that name is because I made a bet with your husband about our grandmother. In case anyone wants to know. I don't know the real name. I think I know the real name of our grandmother, but no one in this family can agree on what our grandmother's real first name was.
I'm on Team Katie.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I said, Gil, that's not your grandma's name. And no, he said, yeah, it is. I said, prove it
no,
then.
It's not. That's what I said to him too. So she developed dementia later in her life. And she was convinced her name is Ophelia. Per my mom and dad, there was an Aunt Ophelia, who was not only like ridiculously beautiful throughout all of her life into her adult life, but she was cool as fuck. So honestly, if I had dementia, I'd want to have a name for someone who was cool as shit too. However, I am fully convinced her name is not Ophelia. It's not. I bet your husband that $200 that I am right, that it is freaking Barbara Rose or Rose Barbara, some kind of like combination of that sort.
Yeah.
And he said, game, set, match. So I'm waiting for Uncle Gil to produce a birth certificate because I need documentation. I was about to pay Ancestry.com to release documents, and Tom was like, can we just not? I was like, I'm winning this fucking bet.
Yeah, no, because Gil was like, oh, the fate of Ophelia, like the new Taylor Swift song, because he's like hearing it on the radio. He was like, oh, it's pretty good. And he's like, you know, that was Nana's name. I said, no, it wasn't. I said, Nana's name was Rose. And he said, no, it was Ophelia Rose. I said, I bet you it wasn't. I said, text Katie right now.
Well, I was cracking up because then I guess the other night you guys must have been at his parents' house and he was like, oh, it's definitely Ophelia. I was like, oh, so Uncle Gil must have sent you something. He was like, no. I was like, well, then who's your source? Like, what's the source? And he sent a picture of his dad to me. And I was like, that's kind of funny. But like,
yeah.
No, I don't trust a single word out of any of the boys' mouths.
But I feel I feel like, again, it's split. Like your dad says it's not Ophelia. So Joe's saying it is. Like, how do you guys, how is this like?
I think we're the minority. Like, okay. My parents and my sister and I, well, Gina, I don't even think has an opinion. Gina's Gina. But like the three of us are fully convinced that it is definitely not Ophelia. And my mom was saying, even when they had to do something with my dad, they needed to get a birth certificate and show proof of his parents' name. And she was like, I would put money on the fact that whether it's Rose or whatever, it's definitely not Ophelia. So I was like,
Claire, okay. And Carrie, if you're listening, please message the group chat.
Or get me pictures of that woman's birth certificate. I want proof. Carrie will get it. I know she will. I'm fairly certain they are fully believing the fact that it's Ophelia. But I'm fully convinced it's not until proven otherwise.
I'm on team Phil, Dev, and Katie.
Again, it's a really pretty name.
I love the name.
And Ophelia apparently was a kick-ass woman. So I understand the want to be someone else that's amazing, right? I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Like, maybe when you and I are old and decrepit, we'll call ourselves Taylor.
Yeah, or I was going to say, that's why Katie goes around saying her name's Teresa all the time.
Yeah, 100%. How'd you know? Caught me red-handed.
Anywho, sorry, back to the book.
Nightshade, her name's Ophelia. She receives a scholarship at this prestigious Scottish university to prove that her parents' death was planned out by this, like, big wig type of person, or plan simple. She really just kind of wants, like, get in, find proof that it was completely covered up, and then go from there. Of course, like, the last thing, anyone who goes to school basically is from, like, the mafia, is a billionaire's daughter or son, something of that nature. However, of course, the guy that she is convinced killed her parents, she meets his son on the first day. And of course, she's completely smitten with him, but she's like, I literally can't like you. So she's like kind of like the loner girl, a little weird. She makes some friends, though. After her parents died, she basically had to raise herself, aka like took on a bunch of these jobs to keep the roof over her head, lost all of her friends at school, wearing shabby clothing, houses run down, always broke. So she like sticks out like a sore thumb at this group of the school because everyone else is just loaded beyond loaded. And it's funny too, because like the male main character is always like, why just don't you, like, he's mean to her, not in a very big bully way, but like really good tension between mm-hmm. the two of them. He's like, what's your freaking problem? Like, why don't you like me? And she's like, I literally cannot like you. Like, so she kind of like tells him the truth without actually calling out telling the truth to him.
Yeah.
And she does not tell him what's going on with his parents. So like you kind of follow the two of them around, what she's doing, what she's trying to do to uncover information. The ending is a little annoying, but because like he forgives her for like not telling about her parents. Like there's a lot of forgiveness and kind of maturity for being in a college setting.
Mm-hmm.
She also is a stalker. She's assuming the stalker was responsible for her parents' death or ordered the hit on her parents' death. Mm-hmm. There's just like so many moving parts to this story. It keeps you so intrigued. The last bit just really annoyed me. I'm curious on how she spins it. It's a duet. So I'm really kind of curious how she like starts it off. Cause like he just kind of goes radio silent on something she does. I'm putting it in quotations.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, if you believed her and were cool with what she didn't tell you about her parents, how can you just believe this so easily? I don't know. There's like a lot of stuff that I'm like, I just don't know. This is kind of annoying. I gave it 4.5 stars though. I thought this was such a great eyeball read. So again, if you're like fans of a dark romance, enemies to lovers, slow burn, university setting, but very real world setting, good side characters too. I say go for it. It was a very, okay. Do you have one more or no?
I have one more.
Okay, do you want to go or do you want me to do my bewitching and then I can end on like a really big high?
Okay, yeah, do that.
Okay, so I read, so the author of Mexican Gothic, which I have not read, I read her newest book called The Bewitching.
Okay.
And it is alternating timelines. This did start, I don't know if you saw the messages between me and one of these girls, but like someone was like, hey, I saw you're reading this, like how is it? The first 10% I kind of struggled with. It just felt very you know, like you're trying to like spin something, but like it takes momentum to get it going. And once you're going, it's like you're going. Like literally that's how it started.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling about Wild Reverence right now. I'm at like 50% and like the first 30%, like it's really good, but just like, okay. Like there's just like, there's like, the book is, I'll get into it, but it's, yeah, sorry. Okay, but that's how I feel about the book I'm currently reading.
I would say this took me 10%. So, like, it was a very quick turnaround.
Okay.
There is alternating timelines. There's three different timelines. They all are interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
We have our female main character at a college setting. She's on a scholarship. She's in a grad program, I'm sorry, or getting her PhD. Something past just college.
Okay.
And she's doing like her dissertation on the disappearance of another college student who went there years back.
Mm-hmm.
Her murder, they don't know if she's murdered, but essentially she's dead at this point. But it's gone unsolved all these years. So she's digging into it, again, kind of a loner. There seems to be like magic in her family, but she really doesn't. It's more of like a, they call it like a tinge on the back of your neck. Like, you know that something's not adding up. Something, it's like a gut feeling, if you will. So she starts digging into this and it's just, everything starts to weirdly happen.
Mm-hmm.
Things get strange. Things get creepy. There's like weird things that she can't explain. Followings, dead rats being left all over the place. You get flashbacks of her grandmother and kind of like the progression of what she goes through as a child and how, kind of like their family's cursed, if you will.
Yeah.
It starts there. So like, and I don't want to give away too much because a lot of it ties into the storyline as itself, but you get the grandma's storyline of the magic in her family and what she went through, which was kind of harrowing. You get her granddaughter, who's our female main character present day, of what she's dealing with. But then you also get the point of view from the girl that goes missing and like her best friend who wrote a story on her. It is so fucking good. It was so perfectly creepy, perfectly spooky. One of those things where like, if I were to tell, like, I don't know if I would want to tell you what I was experiencing because you'd think I'd be crazy. It's like those kinds of things. Like, I can't even confide in someone because someone's going to look and be like, oh, maybe she's going a little crazy. And then again, back in like the 40s and 50s, you couldn't say like you were seeing things, like things were like there, but like they're not there, or the length from your dorm to the cafeteria actually extended. Like someone was making it seem longer so they can catch you. Like you would sound psychotic. So like the one girl who's experiencing all this kind of was more of like a hippie, if you will. So a lot of people just thought that she was kind of in her head anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So like the guy that was going to marry her was like, maybe we should get her like help. Like she should go into psych ward. And she's like, I'm not crazy.
And the more you say I'm not crazy, the more people are like, oh, you're crazy. I feel a little crazy.
Yeah. And then when it starts happening to our female main characters, same thing. She's like, either like someone's like messing with me, or am I hallucinating? Like, did I take something accidentally? Like you start thinking you're also crazy. She's like, I can't tell you about this because like they're going to be like, who is this girl? What's she doing? Her brain's mush. It was, I'm doing a terrible job of
it. It's really hard to explain a book that you don't want to spoil.
No, it's kind of like a spoiler, but essentially there's just alternating timelines, curses, witches, decades old mystery, and a lot of deceit. And if you like that kind of stuff, this is right up your alley.
Okay. I know that what you've explained doesn't sound anything like the Amalfi curse, but how it's like witches and dual timeline and there's like a curse and it's like.
Definitely. Man. And again, if you're into a little bit of a spooky factor.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're looking over your shoulder, like, are you really alone at night? Is there someone outside your window watching you? Like, is someone following you home? You're hearing footsteps everywhere. Like, it is a scary movie.
Okay.
It was very good.
Okay. So the next book that I finished, and I know that I've been talking about this, I think, on every Spilling the Tea for the last, like, 2 months, I finished Morningstar, which is book 3 in the Red Rising series. So the series acts, there's like the first 3 books, which is like kind of a complete story. And I haven't read the next 3. There will be another book coming out, which will be the conclusion of the entire series. So there's 3 books out that take place, I think, 10 years after the 3rd book ends. It's all the same characters. It's the same world. It's just like kind of a continuation on. Yeah. But the way that Morningstar ended was like so satisfactory that if he just ended it at Morningstar, I feel like that would have been fine. It would have been like a perfect trilogy. Everyone says the next three books are amazing. They're like, it gets better. Like, so, because I'm like, I'm so afraid to read it because I was just like so satisfied at the end that I don't want to jump 10 years in the future and have all of my babies now like back in turmoil. And like the way that it ends too, it's very satisfactory because it's very like real. So it's not like a perfect world. They didn't like win. This war wasn't won and now everything's perfect and grand and whatever. It's like, hey, this thing happened and there's hope for the future. Like there's so much work to be done, but we're feeling hopeful. That's kind of how the third book ends. But like one of the main, like, again, I don't want to say too much, but basically it ends and it would have been fine if he never wrote any more in this world. But the book is like book one starts a little slower because there's like world building and backstory and you kind of have to understand the society and everything. And it's really, really good. And then you get into book two and now it's like you're kind of being thrown in now to how the society works and like the intrigue and the like politics of it and like everything like that. And then book three is all out, like it's just war. So like the society as a whole is like very violent and like war is like something that just kind of, I think, is just like always kind of happening. And there's always like battles and like things that are going on. But like book three is legitimately like we are at war now. And what I really like about it, or like the series so far. So like backstory on the series, it follows Darrow. He's born in like their different classes are like different colors. And so he's born as a red. I think I've explained this before, but basically they use him. He dies. Darrow dies. They take his body, not his body, but whatever. And they turn him into a gold. And then, so that's like halfway through, not even halfway, that's like probably 30% into book one through the rest of the series. Like he's living as a gold. And he's kind of fighting for like turning the world into a better place for like all of the lower colors. Because like they're very much taking advantage of. But like with that, right? Like if I am leading a battle or like leading a war and I am this like martyr for these people, you kind of have to question your own morals at that point. Like, what am I willing to do? And like, what horrible things am I willing to do for the greater good? And like, that's kind of like, I think like what makes the story so intriguing, because it's also really introspective at times when you're like, oh, like this is terrible, but like,
yeah,
I'm fighting for something good. People are going to die and I am going to have to kill people. And
like,
I am going to have to
evils. Like,
yeah,
there's your less just like people, like to your point, people are going to die. Things are going to happen. Where can maybe the least amount of bloodshed occur, but like bloodshed's going to have to occur.
Yeah. So, and like, so he has to really come to terms with himself. Like I have to sacrifice my own morals and like my own soul and people, like real human lives, in order to accomplish the greater good. And there's like this like line you have to walk, like when does it turn evil? And like, when are you just doing too? I don't know. It's like a really fun and exciting and like amazingly written story. But then you also get the like deeper introspection as well. And I don't really want to say a lot because I really want you to read it and I don't want to spoil anything.
It's on my list. I think I'm going to do it like November, December. I need to get out of my like thriller.
I've also heard that the audiobooks are really, really good. I know people rave about the graphic audio, but my one friend too, he listened to the regular audio and he's like, he said that he's read the books three times and he's done the audio like twice.
Wow. They're on my audio TBR. I feel like audiobooks for me right now are so hard to come by. I've been very stingy.
Yeah.
So like I listened and I was like, all right, I can navigate this one.
Yeah, no, it's really, 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 really good. And I really, really love some of the, that's another reason why I don't want to read the next three, because it's again, like there's going to be more people dying. People That's the one thing I will tell you this, people are going to fucking die. A lot of them are going to die, and some you love and some you don't, but I'm worried for the ones that I love that are still alive. I'm like, oh no, who's going to die? So right now I'm just like living in like the glory of everything is like peaceful and like we're all doing well right now.
Everyone's all
right. Everyone's all right right now in my world. And honestly, I will say this too about the fandom, because I have done some posts about like my like reading journey. And I've been like, okay, guys, I'm only on this book. Please, like, no spoilers. Not even like a...
Yeah.
Like, sometimes like I'll see like an ACOTAR thing and somebody will be like, oh God, like Tamlin's so cute. And then people are like, oh, it's a canon event. I can't interfere. That's a spoiler.
Yes.
That's a spoiler. You're implying that this person is going to suck.
Yes.
That's a spoiler. So the Red Rising fandom has been great. And I'm like, don't say anything. And they're just like, only thing I'm going to say is you're in for a ride and it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Okay. We'll take it.
I desperately want everybody who listens to please start reading it. I know. There is some romance. If you need romance, it's not romance forward. Romance is like very much a very, very subplot, but there is romance in it. That's all I'm going to say.
That you will.
Yeah.
It's on my list. I know. I want to. I'm just, my mood isn't there yet. And I don't want to read something that I think I'd like with that attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, yeah. Get ready.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm excited.
These are going to be top reads for me, and I'm going to shock you with one of them, which I know you know which one it's going to be. But I'm shooketh. Let me be the first to say, and Teresa will agree, we weren't like the Done and Dusted series was like, meh. Like, we stopped.
Yeah.
We love her. She was awesome. I want to be best friends with Lila.
She's a 10 out of 10 gal.
She's a 10 out of 10.
I didn't love the Done and Dusted series.
Yeah. But we were not fans of the Done and Dusted series. I just feel like a lot of it didn't make sense. There wasn't good flow. I'll leave it at that. So we actually talked about doing Soul Searching for a podcast, but we were like, you know what? We really don't want to do a book that we might not like, right? Like, I don't know. Like, we don't like to talk bad.
We always try to pick books that we think we're going to like. We don't always end up liking them.
Right.
But we didn't really love her previous series, so we didn't want to choose that if we were going in thinking we wouldn't like it.
Exactly. I need you to read this to see if you're getting what I'm getting. Shan's reading it right now, and she's like, there's what's in this crack. And I'm like, no, there has to be. He 180'd, in my opinion. I feel like when I was reading this, first off, I need to know if she's a ghosty girl. Because, like, I feel like the way she's pouring, like, I feel like she's pouring her soul into this. I'm feeling that this was a passion project, if you will. Like, she's really into ghosty type things in terms of, like, being maybe able to see, sense. If you're in a haunted town. Like, I feel like if I were to take a guess, she likes that kind of stuff. Because I felt like what she was putting into the characters, the plot, and the way it was like just a really good progression. I don't know what else to say that like it just gave me the vibes that this, like, her whole heart was poured into this book. If for like a small town paranormal.
I was gonna say, I feel like listening to her kind of talk about it, I feel like she briefly like brought it up at the Devney event a little bit. Like, I feel like this is more up her alley than cowboys.
Yes. I think she definitely is a Western girly, right? Yeah. Like, I think she was born, bred. That's the world she knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if she stuck to a small town paranormal, like, she may have just found her niche. Guys, this was so fucking good. I loved the female main character. She definitely has like issues. She's got baggage, right? Like, she was a huge photographer taking photos. Like, you learn of her backstory, and she kind of comes home because you find out her and her twin sister have this ability to see ghosts. She can hear them. She can sense them everywhere. You learn how that's used in her photography, which is really cool. But all of a sudden, like, the voices start to go dark. So she's like, is there something wrong with me? Mind you, she really doesn't like to go back home. She has those kind of parents where, like, they're phenomenal fucking people. But to her, like, she can shit in public and get arrested. And her parents will be like, that's okay. Like, you made a mistake, and we move on. I think she just wants someone to yell at her or, like, whatever the case might be, but she needs something to shake her up. So she comes back home. She's not very forthcoming with her twin. She's not forthcoming with her parents. But she just kind of, like, navigates all of these issues and the love interest and, like, what she's doing to try to, like, refind herself, help him find himself, also post a divorce. It's very mature.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who, a female main character who I really thought was going to be a little bit more immature, she's very mature. And I appreciate that because I feel like it really kind of helped with forward movement, but also just kind of like learn to let go of shit in the past or like what happens and like just keep trekking on. It's very haunted town. She kind of like takes this guy through like her favorite spots. reacquaints herself with the town and like her love for it. I'm not even doing it justice. This was, I don't know. I closed it and was like, do I just download the audio and re-listen to it? Like, I don't know what to do. Like that's how like obsessed I was with this. Like I was hungover from reading Soul Searching. So if anyone's on the fence, you got
it. No, I actually do want to really read it. Cause like, I feel like if you really loved it, then I will. I was definitely waiting for you to read it first before I was going to decide.
Yeah. Like, I feel like with like the other series, like it was very like, 1 minute we're moving forward, then the next minute didn't make sense and we were backtracking. Then we were moving forward again, then we were backtracking. And like nothing connected, right? Like I felt like everything was kind of, it didn't balance out.
She
figured it out with this book.
Okay, well, good, because I'm excited. I have it on my, I want to download it for like November. I mean, I know that it's like after Halloween, but.
You could read it, I feel like at any time. It doesn't, it's just like a creepy haunted town.
I feel like the only books that I'm like, oh, I can only read at a certain time of year are like Christmas books. But like haunted and stuff like that. Like, I feel like that's just paranormal and that can be read anytime. Christmas specifically has to be at Christmas.
I'm with you. Or like November, like started in
the holiday. Yeah. Yeah. Like holiday season.
Yes. 100%. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I really can't say much about Wild Reverence. The only thing I was going to say was because before how you were saying how like it kind of started off slow. So it's a prequel to Divine Rivals. So, and I never know how to pronounce his name. If it's like the god Dacre or Dacre.
I think it's Dacre.
That's how I pronounce it.
Okay.
probably wrong. So I don't know if you remember in Divine Rivals, like in that series, there's the gods and it's Dacre maybe and Enva. He's from the underworld. She's from the sky. They were like married. It was like this like whole thing. Her music put them all the gods to sleep for like however many years. And now like they're waking up and like now there's like a war between the whatever. And it's like a whole thing. Basically the part that I just got to at 50% is like, so it's not about them, but they are in the story. But Enva has just put all of the gods to sleep at their wedding ceremony. All of the gods from the underworld are there. She puts them all to sleep. And the story follows Matilda. So she's the daughter of an underworld. Her mom's from the underworld or underling or whatever. Her dad is Skyward. So she's from both. When she's born, they think that she's not going to be very powerful. But she is a herald, so she can go between all the realms. And she is in the human realm. There's this boy when they're young. It starts out when she's like a child. And there's this boy, Vincent, who like has these dreams about her. And one of the underling gods like gives her the dreams and like she can see the dreams. So like they have this like friendship when they're children through this like dream world-ish thing, whatever. Something happens and there's like no dreams. They don't speak, nothing for like 13 years. She comes back into his life for some reason. She's in the human realm helping him with something when the wedding ceremony is going on. So when she goes back to the, like, down under, when she goes back to Australia, no, I'm kidding. When she goes back under, everybody is asleep. She has, like, no idea what happened, and Enva is missing. So Enva went back skyward. Anyway, that's kind of, like, where, so it's, like, a prequel. So, like, you kind of, like, get to, like, know more about the gods and how they function and things like that. And then there obviously are human, she's in the human realm with humans helping them with something. So I'm curious to see like how that all goes. But like, I think just like Rebecca's, cause like I love Divine Rivals and I did not like the second book.
Yeah.
I thought that the plot sucked. Like, I think that we talked about it on the podcast, like whenever it came out like 2 years ago or whatever. And I was like, her writing is so good. She did not plot this book well at all. Like I was just so confused the whole time. I was like, what is going on? But her writing style and the way that she can like express things. And I don't know, it just feels very, I feel like we use this word all the time, but very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I'm really enjoying this. It's just like, it's so like her writing, her like wording is so flowery. It's just like very like magical. I don't know. I can't explain it in good words, but I can explain it in hand motions if only you can see. And as of now, I want to recommend it. Again, obviously, I'll come back and I'll tell you whether or not I really recommend it or not. But so far, I think that if you like Divine Rivals, you would enjoy this book based on like her writing and the plot and the characters.
Well, that helps. All right, I have one last book.
Okay.
Alchemy of Secrets by Stephanie Garber. This is her first new adult.
Which debut. Is funny because I downloaded Wild Reverence thinking that it was Alchemy of Secrets. I like, had a complete brain fart and I was like, okay, no, I downloaded the book. And then I was like, this is
not it.
Completely different.
This is a must read. It is myths and legends meets like old Hollywood, if you will. Like that's the vibe it gives. It does have an academia setting. We have our female main character who took kind of like a specific course in college, but like it's not a course you can sign up for. You kind of have to find it, kind of to the myths and legends. Like you have to figure out the clues to get to the class. If you make it to class, you make it to class. And if you don't, you don't take the class. You kind of get introduced to her by like thinking of this. There's a guy called like the Watchman who, if you find out where he is and meet him, he can tell you the exact time that you are going to die. She goes on a date with a guy named Jake and they go find the Watchman and they find him. And he's like, all right, I guess I'll go with you. And they both, well, he's supposed to call them. So all of a sudden she stops hearing from this guy that she went on the date with, mm-hmm. which starts to kind of unravel everything, right? Like she kind of is a believer in the myths and legends. Her dad was huge in this. Her dad has passed away. Both parents have passed away. She does have a twin sister. She's over in Europe doing something. She doesn't get to hear from her often. I'm taking your words. Chaos ensues.
Yeah.
Literal chaos ensues.
Chaos ensues.
You literally find out that this is not a spoiler, but the boyfriend does call the female main character. And he's like, you got to get over here immediately. Like the Watchman called me. She's like, wait, I thought this was like, she like thought it was real, but like didn't realize it was like real, real. Like she just thought it was, like, you know, sort of kind of real. So after she finds out what the guy that she was on a date with says, even more chaos ensues. And then she kind of goes down like this rabbit hole. But then like weird things start happening where like, you read a sentence of like what's happening current and like it's repeated in her mind as if she's like experienced already and you're kind of like, what's going on? And then she has like these nosebleeds or she's bleeding from like her eye. Like there's something going on.
So, yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, what's happening? You have two guys kind of after her saying that they both can help her. So throughout the whole book, you have no idea who you can even trust.
Yeah.
You literally have no idea. I am not going to say more than that because it will spoil everything in the end.
Okay.
It is such an interesting read of like literally going down a fucking rabbit hole with these myths and legends, figuring out this shit's actually all real. What is actually going on with her also is like a whole other layer. The twin thing is another layer. Her dad's another layer. It's just, this was not what I was expecting going in.
Okay.
I have more questions and like, I feel like people might rate it like, well, it shouldn't answer things, but that's the point.
Yeah.
Like that's the point of the story. Like you have unanswered questions. It was so fucking good. I need another one. I need more. Like this was incredible.
I do have that on my TBR as well.
There was a second one. I didn't realize it was going to be a series.
Okay. I was going to say, it sounds like it's going to be a series, it's but I was not going to comment on that.
But I thought it was too, but I was like, I'm not sure. I don't remember what I was looking at. No, this was like so fucking good.
Okay. Well, add all these to your TBRs, read them, get back to us on it. Next week, we are doing Mate, finally. It sounds like we're going to have two separate opinions on it. I liked it. I gave it 4 stars. I'm going to spoil that right now for you guys. Anyway, Katie Jean, I know you have to go. So if you could please send us out, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.